Guys, glad you are here patiently waiting as we do begin our regular segment we call Nonprofit Navigation. Let's do the formal introductions on the conversation that we have today. Appreciate you, Dr. Tim Penning, professor of Grand Valley State University in that advertising PR department. You know that your name was mentioned in the last segment.
Yes, I saw a colleague and some of our top students leaving the studios. That's good to see. They're up early on a Friday. Students these days are a lot more energetic than they were 10 years ago, I'll tell you that. We're happy to say that. Yep, they're very professional, very energetic.
Yes, well, she brought the best in, so we dropped their names and reminded the listeners that they're up for hire in the next 6 months or so. Always a pleasure to have you in the studio, Matthew Downey, Director of Nonprofit Services of Johnson Center with Johnson Center of Philanthropy at Grand Valley. Good morning to you.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Yay. And we do talk nonprofit navigation every month because it's important. And let's always start consistent, Matthew. The Dorothy A. Johnson Center for Philanthropy, what are you charged to do?
Well, we provide both services locally and nationally to support the work of nonprofit organizations, foundations, and other folks that are just interested in helping to make communities better and stronger. We work with organizations all across the state. And Tim was just saying, hey, are you working with a lot of nonprofit clients? And I said, yes, actually 150 organizations in 16 different Michigan cities received some kind of one-on-one help from our nonprofit team at the Johnson Center last year.
I know one of the boards I'm on, actually, we were brought in for a strategic planning session probably a couple years ago, and it was well undertaken, and we learned a lot, so yeah. I can testify to that. Tim Penning, you do profess at Grand Valley. Tell us a little bit about your journey in life.
Well, I have a strong nonprofit background myself. I started out as a journalist like you, more on the print side, and then I worked for a variety of different nonprofits, including an NGO, non-government organization, they call them. Worked for this university in a public relations role, and then I worked for a community foundation. Along the way, I started teaching as an adjunct, loved it, and made the switch to full-time. Went back, got my PhD. Been doing that for 15 years now, and one of my areas of research is public relations and nonprofit. So that's why I'm here today, I think.
To talk about that, and you've run how many marathons yourself?
Four full, a lot of halves.
Good.
You put two halves together, you got a full. It's just you get a nice long rest in between.
Matthew, do you have any runs under your belt?
I'm not a runner.
We'll just say yet on that. Matthew, set up our conversation. We do want to talk about a couple of series that are coming up under the umbrella of Grand Valley's Johnson Center.
Yes. Providing a space where organizations can come in and just, you don't know what you don't know. And we always provide opportunities to have really interesting conversations on a variety of different topics. And that's why I'm so glad that we have Tim here. And his topic in particular, speaking at one of our Brown Bag series on Wednesday, October 28th, which is a free one, which is really talking about the role of public relations in the nonprofit organization and how it plays out with the nonprofit board. It's a really important topic. I think so often in organizations, we're just so focused on the programs, and that's important. But actually, public relations and communicating is not a means to an end, but it's almost an end in and of itself, helping people understand the issues and organization addresses.
Yeah, absolutely. And the research that I'm going to talk about at the Brown Bag coming up is based on observations I've made personally and then just scholarly over the years. But Matthew's right. Most organizations don't really turn to public relations until the third or fourth era of their life cycle. Obviously, when they're younger, they're in survival mode and they just need cash. And so they might have one director and a bunch of volunteers, and they have this great ideal and this vision, and they get support for it. And then that transitions into getting people on the board who don't just have access to capital or know how to raise it, but they understand the mission. Because as you know, Shelley, being on a lot of boards, there's a whole host of things people do, everything from children to animals to the environment to policy to all kinds of things that can be advocated. And you need expertise, and that makes sense. And it gets down to about the third or fourth thing where they say, boy, we need someone with a communication role, and they call it different things. We bristle when they call PR marketing. But
let's set that correctness here.
Okay, well, marketing and public relations overlap, and I'll try to do this simply. Anybody who took a marketing class learned the four P's: product, price, place, promotion. And there's a lot that goes into it: channels of distribution, product development, consumer research. It's that promotion piece where there's a little overlap. But public relations is concerned with more than just customers. We're concerned with every stakeholder, internal and external, even people who don't have any financial relationship with you. And that plays out especially well in the nonprofit sector. So if your listeners want to know, well, what is PR? It's about building and maintaining mutually beneficial relationships, meaning that you as a PR person don't just be a spokesperson for the organization, but you span that boundary and you listen to people in the community, your constituents and supporters, and sometimes they conflict with each other and you take that in and you advise management, hey, this is what people are saying. And it's a two-way perspective, not a one-way mouthpiece.
And hence a reason to have this brown bag lunch opportunity, a lunch and learn series that I know has been ongoing for some time, Matthew?
Yes, we've been. It's one of our mainstay programming. It's one of the most popular programs at the Johnson Center. It usually has a bit more of an intellectual conversation. We have lots of workshops where we're teaching and giving tools to organizations. But the Brown Bag series really kind of allows people to sort of reflect and talk with each other. And I was just thinking as you were talking that these different stages, you know, some of the strongest nonprofits in West Michigan, in their earliest beginning stages, they really understood the role of communicating about the mission and saw that as a way of engaging volunteers and donors. And that was just as important to them as actually trying to figure out how to deliver on the programming. And you can see it in their charisma out in the community. You can see that they have resulted in a much healthier organization financially because they made those early investments in communicating. But I think that conversation with the board must be a challenging one.
Yeah, and what you're talking about there happens in the corporate side too. It's called mission drift, right? And it just makes sense. When you're young, you're so young as an organization, maybe an old person, but you're so passionate about that cause, and it's a natural thing to talk about it and advocate for it, and every person you talk to is a touch point, and you value those relationships. You get a little success, and then you say, well, maybe we can branch off and do this, and maybe we can do this differently and hire more program staff, and then you forget about the communication. Large organizations have sometimes a bigger struggle with that just because of natural bureaucracy. They're not bad people. It's just the nature, and you have to really be intentional about your communication. Mm-hmm. Small organizations and the right kind of person is a natural communicator and doesn't lose sight of that. I guess you could say they're more nimble, and the need to have those relationships is ever-present, where you can take them for granted when you're successful and a little older as an organization.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think society puts a lot of pressure on organizations to be so focused on the actual delivery of the programs. Mm-hmm. And so society doesn't always value, sometimes our donors don't always value when we invest money in communicating about the mission, about the cause, and about the problem. And it's really hard to raise money when no one in your community understands the problem or even knows the problem exists that your organization is trying to address.
It's kind of like chicken or the egg here.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. I mean, it really does work that way. Some of the nonprofits I've worked with in the past, either on staff or as a consultant, a simple thing as an example. Organization had a newsletter, and the newsletter was all about who the donors were and how much they gave and opportunities to give. I said, where are the people that are being helped? Let's get their photos. Let's tell their stories. Let's let them talk. Turn the organization around. It's a simple philosophy, but they got so caught up in the mechanics and lost sight of the mission.
Yeah. I call that being obsessed with cash because organizations are always struggling to raise money, and you always don't have enough money that you'd like to have. Boards and staff can be just become obsessed with cash, and I try to say, don't be obsessed with cash, be obsessed with engagement and finding good, meaningful ways for people to be engaged in the mission and communicate the stories of the work that you're doing through your programs, and that's going to turn into cash, but people just get so focused on the cash.
In case you need it, you can tell people I am 100% behind you on that. I advocate that entirely because when it comes to measurement, that's a big deal in public relations too. Boards or managers say, okay, we're paying you to do this public relations. What are we getting for it? What's the ROI? I had a student one time say to a client, we take clients in our classes, and the marketing person was the main contact. At the end of the semester, they're presenting, and they bring in the accountant, the bean counter, right? And he says, okay, you planned all these things. What's the ROI in dollars and cents? And bless her heart, the student looked at him and said, are you married? And he said, yes. And she said, what's the return on investment of that relationship in dollars and cents? And he said, I think I get your point. So it's not measured directly or immediately, but there's no doubt that relationship building, public relations, long-term, in a very sustainable way, gets you the cash that Matthew's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's just not immediate directly, but it's better than the bold ask.
Our nonprofit navigation segment, thanks to guests on behalf of the Dorothy A. Johnson Center for Philanthropy, with Dr. Tim Penning, professor at Grand Valley, Matthew Downey, director of nonprofit services of Johnson Center. Tell me how we register for Tim's presentation next Wednesday.
JohnsonCenter.org. We've got a list of the events right there, and you can click on any of the events that you're interested in, and a variety of other workshops that we have on pretty much any topic a nonprofit might need to learn more about. And today, we're actually launching a new website, our strategic leadership series. It'll be johnsoncenter.org/SLS, and it'll be up here today. And it is a really cool, it actually builds on this whole conversation that people want to be engaged in nonprofits out in the community, and we need to come up with community mechanisms that allow people to really understand what are the issues that the community face, and help people in the community get connected to those issues. And that's really the theme. Our theme for Strategic Leadership Series this year is Convene. And we've got four incredible speakers that are going to come. The first one starts in December 1st. Saeed Hassan is a very internationally renowned speaker and author. Social Labs Revolution is the name of his book. And he's really talking, how do we get people around the table, cross-disciplinary, cross-sector, to really talk with each other and think about entrepreneurialism in the social sector, and try to figure out how can we solve some of these community issues. And he's being joined by a very well-known friend of ours, Dennis McMillan from Alaska, was here for the Strategic Leadership Series last year. We're bringing Dennis back to kind of have a conversation both with the broader community and with nonprofits.
Great. And there also is a What is Philanthropy discussion on the 17th of November?
Yes, that is our colleague and friend Sal Alimo in the School of Public Nonprofit and Health Administration. Sal has had a vision for and launched several years ago this really important national documentary that really asks the question, what is philanthropy? One of the cool parts of the documentary is he goes to many cities and they're on the street and they just flag people down as they're walking on the sidewalk, and he asks the question, what is philanthropy? And it's amazing and hilarious at times, the variety of answers that that people give him. People very confused what that word philanthropy might mean, but yet it's something that all of us do, and we're all engaged in volunteerism or giving money or just helping the neighbor when the neighbor's in need. But yet everyone seems very confused as to what that word really means. And so Sal dives pretty deep into that, into this really wonderful documentary.
Is that part of your curriculum, Tim? Any talk about philanthropy?
In our curriculum, I bring it up all the time. I talk not just about if you work in a nonprofit, but corporate philanthropy and the importance of that as an extension of your total public relations role. And that leads into corporate social responsibility, or CSR, which is a very big discussion. It's been there since the 70s, but it's really blossomed in the last 10 years. The public actually expects it, and brand preference is not based just on the quality of a product or service, but the kind of corporation you are. And then nonprofits, too, they need to speak about, as Matthew was saying, philanthropy is more than just giving money. It's volunteerism. It's really kind of an attitude, and sales. Pretty interesting to hear about that, but I'm glad that project's going on.
All right, Tim, one more time, details of your presentation come next Wednesday.
Well, Matthew gave you the time, but I'm going to talk basically about nonprofit organizations, and when they have a board, they should have someone on there who really knows what public relations is. In my research, I found a lot of executive directors said, yeah, sounds great, but when you asked them what it was, they said, it's getting the word out. So we need to just explain more wholly what public relations is, and then get people on the board who can do more than just ask for money or be a megaphone, but help counsel management to build relationships.
Boardship lightly. You have a duty, and if this is your talent, then volunteer. And how to register one more time for that, Matthew Downey.
JohnsonCenter.org. There's a list of events, and you can get registered for all the great learning opportunities we have coming up at the center.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
Thank you.
Yes.